and the way that He blesses us. So, amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. And we're going to be looking at verse 4 through 8 tonight. Now, last week we dealt with some of this passage. We read this chapter through here, I believe, last week. And we're going to take a step back and look at just verse 4 through 8. And ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts tonight. Here in Hosea chapter 7, verse 4 through 8, the Bible says this: "They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from rising after he hath kneaded the dough, until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake, not turned." Now you think about what it's talking about here, and just some heart-wrenching words there in the end of verse 7 when it says this: "There is none among them that calleth unto me." It's speaking of the people of God here, not calling unto God Himself. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this evening. We do thank You for Your goodness and Your grace to us. Lord, what a privilege it is to be in Your house and to have a copy of Your Word. And the Lord, help us to never take that for granted. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this message tonight, Lord, that we would see this as a warning to us, Lord, and that we can learn from the mistakes that Israel made here in Ephraim, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would learn from them and not repeat them, Lord. I pray You'd do a work in our hearts that only You can do. We thank You for Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, as we dealt with some of this passage here, I preached a message that was entitled, "Guilty Yet Again." And we spoke of the sin of Israel, and of course, that has been the predominant theme through the book of Hosea. It seems as though from the very beginning, when we started there in Hosea chapter 1, it goes right into the right into what God wanted to say in verse 2. About halfway through there, it says, "Go and take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." So started right out in verse 2, God explaining to Hosea here exactly what Israel was guilty of. And He's continued that over and over and over. But what we have seen is that though God has been calling out the sin in Israel, we've seen that God calls out that sin, and Hosea warns the people of Israel. We read there when I preached the message entitled Short-Lived Commitments, we see that there was some goodness there, but yet it would go away. As soon as God would call out the sin, maybe they had, or some of them had a desire to repent of that sin, and they said, "This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to repent of this sin, I'm going to turn my back on that sin." And though it sounded good on the surface, a very short time after that, they turned their back on that commitment. And so God just keeps calling out sin after sin after sin. And as we spoke of that sin there, we see that Hosea, God is speaking to Hosea here and speaking of the transgressions against God and how God is going to judge the nation of Israel. And because the Lord knows that very few times do we obey the first time, you know, God has to speak to us over and over and over again. I know in and of myself, God will call out one sin. And I wish I could say that as soon as God calls out a sin, I would drop to my knees and repent of that sin immediately. I may have good intentions, but me and you alike, we all have that sin nature. And God is so long-suffering toward us. His mercy is great. And praise the Lord that His mercies are new every morning, because I need that mercy. Amen. And I know all of us do. But God continues to call out that sin in our life because God desires for us as believers to live close to Him. That's what God desires. He doesn't desire for us to live a life that's just apart from God and a life of misery. God doesn't want that for us because He knows what's best for us. He knows what He can do through our lives, but do we allow Him to do that? You see, many times, if we obey the first time when God tells us, what we're going to find is we fall off the wagon pretty quickly. But praise the Lord for His grace. So tonight, I want to, as we go through this passage, just these four verses here, I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled this, The Lazy Baker. The Lazy Baker. As we go through these verses there, we read a lot about a baker and an oven and a cake not turned and these types of things. And what I want us to see here, it's my desire that we as believers would see exactly where Israel went wrong. What was it? Where did they get lazy and how did it affect them? And it's my desire that the Lord would help all of us tonight to learn from the mistakes of Israel. Because if we can learn from their mistakes, then we don't have to walk in the same footsteps that they walked in. But if we make the same mistakes that Israel was making, then we can expect to get the same judgment that Israel got. Judgment will come if we refuse to heed to the Lord. So notice, first of all, tonight, notice with this lazy baker, first of all, he refuses to rise. He refuses to rise. Look at verse 4. It says, "They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened." Now here in this verse there, we see an oven there, we see a baker there, and this baker is ceasing from doing something, and that is raising. Of course, what I see here is the baker is seated there and he's trying to put this dough together. He's making this bread there, and can you see him as he's kneading this dough and he's sitting there? And it says that he refuses to rise. He ceaseth from raising. We see this baker who's kneading the dough, and no doubt he was doing what he knew was supposed to be done. He was preparing the dough as it was supposed to be prepared. However, what this verse is describing to us here is that he was preparing that dough. He was doing everything that he could with that, but there's something he didn't do. He didn't heat the oven before he started. Notice what it says there. "As an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened." This is what it's talking about. That oven, as the oven is heated from a baker, he ceases from rising. Therefore, the oven was not heated up at the time in which it was supposed to be heated. The dough, it needed to go into this hot oven, and the oven was there. The dough was kneaded. The dough was ready, but the oven was not heated up. Now, I don't know a whole lot about baking, but I can tell you this, I'm a professional taste tester, amen? And if my wife bakes a batch of cookies and she goes, "Here, try one of these cookies." Well, I eat one and then I say, "Well, that's not enough. I got to try another one before I know if they're good." You know, and then I got to try another one and another one and another one. But I don't know a whole lot about baking, but what I do know is this. That in studying studying this verse here, the bread that this baker, that it would have been equated to here in the mind of Israel, in the mind of Ephraim here as Hosea was talking to them, in studying that dough, what you're going to find is there was a time in which that dough, it had to be prepared, the baker had to knead that dough, and as soon as it was ready, the oven had to be ready, the oven had to be hot, and that dough had to go into that oven. But yet, the baker didn't heat the oven. He didn't do that. It needed to be hot. Everything else was done. But yet, he refused to rise and heat the oven. He was so focused on his desire for that bread and getting it done. Notice here that he did not put into order what needed to be put into order. How many times do we as believers find ourselves guilty of just that? We have all kinds of things that we have go on throughout our life. We live a busy life. It doesn't matter who you talk to. It doesn't matter how young or how old they are. If you ask them what is something you wish you could have, they would say more time. There's just not enough time to get everything done that we need to get done. We're busy people. Life is busy. And many times, because of that busyness, we're focusing on this and we're focusing on that, and this thing has to be done and this thing has to be done. And to our detriment, many times what we leave out is the things of God. Many times we leave out the the very thing that's going to help all of those things come together. We focus on all of these areas of our life, and we refuse to believe that without God, all of that's void anyway. All of it. We need to set things into order. We need to make sure that we are rising here like this baker should have. Should have arisen here. The oven is ready, or needs to be ready. It needs to be hot. But the baker here, because of his passion for that bread, he did not heat up the oven. Church, we should not be that way. We cannot be so focused on the things of this life that we refuse to take care of what needs to be tended to. We cannot be so focused on the temporal that we refuse to see the eternal. Many times, that's exactly where we find ourselves. You see, God has given men a free will, but that will is to be kept in check with the Word of God. And for many people, and even many believers, the Word of God is oftentimes set aside. And oftentimes, we're just like that baker who, he's sitting there, he's exactly where he needs to be in man's eyes. He's preparing that dough, he's getting it ready, he's kneading that bread, and all of that, and then everything looks like it's going the way that it should, but because he refused to do something very important, that bread is going to end up being wasted. You know, there may be a believer that maybe one of us know, or maybe this describes someone in this room tonight. Only the Holy Spirit can speak to you about different things in your life. But maybe we know someone who is going through this life. They claim to be saved. They claim to have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. But what we find is they're just going through life, and they're focusing on the career. They're focusing on money and possessions and all these temporal things, maybe sports and all of this. And they say, well, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. What we're going to find is someday all of that other stuff is going to come crashing down. Why? Because they refused to raise when they should have. They did not set into order the things that they should have set into order. We find that as well, especially with unbelievers too. Ones who are focused on all of these temporal things and they refuse to trust Christ. One day it's going to come crashing down like a house of cards. All because they were as this lazy baker. We cannot be so focused on the temporal and working so hard at the temporal things that we neglect what truly matters. Many believers are exactly like this baker here in the book of Hosea. Many believers, spiritually speaking, are lazy. We see in verse 4 here that they were adulterers. In the next verse, it talks about how the king was drunk with wine. Look at verse 5. It says, in the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. What we find here is this. In every nation, it doesn't matter which nation you want to study, any nation that has once risen as a world power and now they have fallen, now they've been defeated by someone else, something you're going to find in each and every one of them is you're going to find alcoholism, and you're going to find sexual sins. That's what you're going to find. Why? Because that's exactly where man's heart goes. That's the lust of the flesh. And that's what happened in the nation of Israel as well. We see here that they were adulterers. They were drunk with wine. These are ones who were once strong. They were once powerful, but now they are defeated. They've got this alcohol that's running rampant, this adultery, this fornication, the lust of the flesh. And that's exactly what happened to the northern kingdom of Israel. And if we don't set the things in order that we need to, if we're not reading our Bible like we should, we're not praying like we should, we're not obeying the Bible like we should, we're not attending church the way that we should, we're not raising our family the way that we should, all of these things, if we're not doing that, understand, we'll be just like the nation of Israel here. Just like that lazy baker. What happened to them? The baker cared more about the temporal. He cared more about the here and now. He cared more about what he was feeling at this moment. And what he's going to find is that it's going to cost him dearly. Church, each and every one of us, we need the Lord's help to put our old man to death. We need to ensure that we are focusing on the eternal, that we're setting in order the things that need to be done. The old flesh gets put to death at the moment of salvation, but he just keeps wanting to come back to life over and over and over again. That old flesh just tries to convince us that we can do our own thing. You know, they say that cats have 9 lives. Now, I don't believe that, but that's what they said. They say cats have 9 lives. The only thing that I think has a cat beat is our old sinful nature. Because it just keeps coming back over and over and over again. Why did the Apostle Paul say we need to die to the flesh daily? Because that flesh is going to be there. Every single day, that flesh will be there. When you wake up in the morning, that old sinful flesh is what's going to be greeting you first thing in the morning. When you go to work, you know what's going to meet you at the door at the workplace? The sinful flesh. As you're going through your work day and you're on your lunch break, the sinful flesh is there. As you get home from work, the sinful flesh is there. As you get ready to lay your head on your pillow at night, that sinful flesh is there. We must die to that flesh daily. Set into order these things. Because if we are not careful, we'll get so consumed with how we feel and what we want that the dough of life, though it may be kneaded, though it may be ready to be cooked, the oven is not heated because we gave no thought to the eternal. So first of all, we see that the baker, the lazy baker, refused to rise. Notice, second of all here, the baker did not wait. Look at verse 6 and 7, if you will. It says, "For they have made ready their heart like an oven, whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me." You see the picture that's being drawn for us here. I think of the baker, and as he takes that bread and he has it all ready, and he's got the oven ready, and he goes and he puts that bread in that oven there, and then he just wants to shut his eyes for just a couple of minutes. And what do we find here? We find that he sleepeth all night. He's kneaded the dough, he's added the leaven there, but he did not, beforehand, he did not preheat the oven to keep that dough under control, and now he has taken the dough, he's placed it in the baking pan, he's placed the pan in the oven, and then he falls asleep, and he sleeps all night. Baker's on a roll, amen? No pun intended. But don't hire this guy to cook anything for you. He's going to fall asleep and burn all your stuff. But what we see here is this: as that dough is in the oven, it's as a burning, flaming fire. There is, think about this, mess all over the oven. It's on fire. It's not the way the bread was supposed to turn out. It's not what he envisioned when he started making that bread. It's not what he thought was going to come out of that oven. It's not what he had set his heart to. It's not what in his mind he said, this is what it's going to look like. And now it's not that way at all. Why is that? Because of the lazy baker. But unfortunately, that's exactly where believers are today. Just as that baker fell asleep on the job, many believers are asleep on the job today. Many. They're exactly like he is. Many believers, they have their eternity settled. They know they're on their way to heaven. They have their dough ready. It's placed in the oven. So what could have turned out to be great, what could have turned out to be wonderful, is now going to be no good to anyone because many believers have fallen asleep on the job. Lord, help us that that would not be any of us. What could have turned out great, no one can enjoy that now because, spiritually speaking, they're sleeping. They've fallen asleep at the wheel. We see many of God's children whose passions are running rampant as that burning, flaming fire as well. God gives us everything that we need. You know what He commands us to do? To be faithful with what He's given us. Be good stewards of what He's given us. Many times, we as believers, we have what God has given us, place it in that oven, and God says, I can do great things with that. And we fall asleep. And we don't do what God wants us to do. It shouldn't be that way. Everything that God wanted to do, all of that beautiful work that He wanted to do, all of those souls that He wanted that believer to tell about Christ, all of those ones that He wanted that believer to reach out to and to make a difference in their life, tell them what Christ did for them, all because the believer fell asleep on the job. Now all of that has been wasted. Not because God didn't desire to do something, but because the believer did not do what he was supposed to be doing. He wasn't watching as he was supposed to be watching. This world that we live in, it seems as though all of the passions of men, some of the most vile things, are running wild in this world. There's a drug problem, an alcohol problem. Pornography seems to be everywhere. How could a nation that was founded upon biblical principles, how could it get to the place and where it's at now? Because believers have fallen asleep on the job. Because we haven't done what we needed to do. Because in many believers' lives, here's what they did. Yeah, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I've got that bread in the oven. Pastor will watch over it. My parents will watch over it. Well, my grandparents... My grandpa was a pastor, and my grandmother was a Sunday school teacher. They'll watch over that. And meanwhile, what God has given us to do is lying in waste. All because we're just like that lazy baker. All because believers refuse to keep their passions in check. Verse 8 tells us that all of their kings have fallen. This is speaking of the northern kingdom there. The north did not have kings that were doing right in the Lord's sight. It was full of kings that were evil. As you study the nation of Israel, you may be studying it through the lens of it being God's chosen people, and they were, but there was a lot of evil deeds that happened in the nation of Israel. You're going to find that as this king was appointed, then this person came and killed that king, and sometimes even killed that king's son, if he had a son, just so that this person could steal the throne. It happened over and over and over again. We see these evil passions running wild, running rampant in the nation of Israel, and they're doing the exact same thing in our nation today. These evil, sinful passions, they are just running wild everywhere. People are following their sinful passions. They're establishing idols, and just as they were in the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom was wicked. It was vile. They were full of people who were as the lazy baker that they did not prepare the oven. And when the dough was placed in there, they fell asleep, and they let it get devoured by the flames of their sinful lifestyle. Over and over again, we see that happen. As we follow the northern kingdom, we see the effects of the judgment of God on their spiritual laziness. Believers here tonight, maybe God's trying to wake somebody up tonight. Maybe, if we're honest with ourselves, maybe we've been chasing all of these different things, and maybe we haven't set in order the things that need to be in order. Maybe we've just been going through life, and maybe you're here, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Get that taken care of tonight. Trust Christ. Understand that He died on the cross for you to pay your sin debt. Accept Him as your personal Savior. But maybe you're here and you are saved. Maybe if you're honest with yourself, you can see that God has given you something that could be beautiful, but you've taken your eyes off of it. You still have breath in your lungs. Can I tell you this? God's trying to wake you up tonight. God says, I can still do something with your life. I can still do something. I can still make a difference in your life. I can still use you. I can still have you do wonderful things for me, but you've got to wake up. God is trying to get believers' attention. If we don't get that sin taken care of, if we leave this place tonight and we just leave in the same condition that we came in, those flames are going to continue to rise. They're going to continue to get out of control. We need to take care of that tonight. So with the lazy baker, not only do we see that he refuses to rise, Not only do we see that he's asleep, but lastly, notice here, he refused to turn the cake. Look at verse 8, if you will. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Now, as we see Ephraim here, we see that he's, of course, mixed himself. It says among the people there. This is talking about the heathen nations, the ones that Israel was supposed to take care of. God told them, you need to go in there, you need to take care of these people, and they didn't do that. Therefore, they're going to pay the price for that. They allowed themselves to get pulled into there. I think of the account in Scripture of Abraham and Lot, and Lot chose the area towards Sodom, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And what happened there? He fell asleep at the wheel, didn't he? He fell asleep on the job, and we see God could have done great things to the life of Lot, but what happened? He fell asleep while the bread was in the oven. Ephraim did the exact same thing because he mixed himself with the world. So I'll tell you a place where we get ourselves into trouble is this. When we convince ourselves that we're awake, but we're actually asleep, spiritually speaking. We convince ourselves that we can have an eye on this, but also still be taking part in what the world wants us to do over here. If that's the way we're living, if all of our attention isn't on what God wants from our life, then we're asleep spiritually. And it's going to waste. He refused to turn the cake. You see, first of all, it was, well, he just refused to get up. He just didn't heat the oven the way that he should have. He didn't take care of the things that he should have done. Well, then after that, then he puts it into the oven there, and then he falls asleep. Well, maybe he was tired. But then we get to this part where we have a baker. A baker knows what to do with a cake. He knows that these cakes needed to be turned. But yet, he didn't do that. And it wasn't because of something that happened overnight. It's because of a process in his life. And many believers find themselves in the exact same spot. A person trusts Christ as their personal Savior. And they're enjoying that sweet fellowship with Christ. They're drawing closer to Him each and every day. And then all of a sudden they decide, well, maybe I'm not going to do that. And they get a step away. Yeah, but I'm still close. I'm closer than I was. And then they take another step, and another step, and another step. And eventually they just keep taking those small steps over and over and over again. And then they find themselves in a wasted state, just like this cake was here. And they ask themselves this question, how did I get here? It doesn't happen overnight. It's one decision after another. And now he's refusing to turn the cake. In that day, they would have cooked these little cakes on the top of a stove. They would be like our pancakes today. I'm getting hungry, amen. Hope there's some good cake downstairs. We'll see. Amen. Hopefully they turn the cake, amen. But these little cakes here, they would be like our pancakes. And if you've ever cooked a pancake, you know that you have to flip that pancake. If you continue to let it sit there, what's going to happen, it's going to get well done on one side. But what's going to happen to the top? It's just going to be a gooey, nasty mess. The only way that it can be completely done, the way that it was made to be, is if it got turned. Why was Ephraim not getting turned the way that he should have? Because of the company that he was keeping. Because he mixed himself among the people. You know what happens when a believer surrounds themselves with other believers, and that is their main influence in life, outside of the Lord Himself, of course, but when they surround themselves with believers who want to follow the Lord, you know what happens to those believers? They grow closer to the Lord. You know what happens to a believer who surrounds themselves with the world instead and does just the bare minimum with the body of Christ? They're going to find themselves like the world. And that's what happened to Ephraim here. The very children of God are as far away from God as the world was because they mix themselves with the world. They were done on the one side. The one side was exactly like it should have been. All they had to do was to be flipped. Because unless a pancake is flipped, it cannot be enjoyed. Because of Ephraim's sin, because they had mixed themselves with the world, because they were like the lazy baker who would not rise. He fell asleep on the job. And because of all that, God says that they are like a cake not turned. But all of that could have been avoided if they would have followed the Lord. All of that. The book of Hosea, all of this sin that we've been discussing here could have been avoided with one decision. I'm going to follow the Lord today. And tomorrow, I'm going to follow the Lord today. And I'm going to follow the Lord today. Every single day. The book of Hosea could have been in a completely different light. But that's not what happened. Because they continued to turn to the world instead of turning to God. They continued to mix themselves with the world. They did not follow the Lord. He could have done great things with them. God had big plans for them, but they didn't do what they were supposed to do. There was a man who was wandering through the woods and came up to a cottage, and the man that lived in the cottage invited him into his home. And as the man came in out of the cold, he began to blow on his hands. And the man inside asked him, why do you blow on your hands? And he said, to warm them up. Oh, okay, that works? He said, yes. He said, that warms your hands. He said, yes, it does. He said, okay. And the man says, well, I know you're cold. I'm going to get you a bowl of hot soup. And he brings it over there and sets it in front of the man. And the man started blowing in the soup. And he said, why do you blow in your soup? And he said, to cool it off. And it says that this man, not knowing what civilization was, ran out of his house saying, I can't be with a man who can blow hot and cold at the same time. You know, as funny as that little illustration may be, there's many believers who are trying to do just that. They're trying to live both sides of the tracks. They're trying to live both sides of the Bible. You can't do that. You need to live what the Bible says. Understand what God says, and that's what we need to be doing. Some people, they try to get just close enough to appear as a Christian. It shouldn't be that way. So Ephraim was living here. They were trying to be lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. They were to be as a cool, clear glass of water to a thirsty land, but yet they allowed themselves to be contaminated. Many believers, though they are supposed to be the light in the community, they're supposed to be the light in their neighborhood, the light in their workplace, the light to their family members and to their friends and to all these people that God puts them into contact with. They're supposed to be that light to them. But because they've fallen asleep, because they're like this lazy baker, their light has been hidden. See, church, we need to understand that this is talking about the nation of Israel, but yet it's described in the same sinful flesh that you and I have. It wants to be given over to our sinful pleasures. It wants to just fall asleep on the job. And here's what our flesh is going to say. Our flesh wants to say, well, it's okay to rest your eyes a little bit. I'm sure it will be fine. Not going to be. It never has been. It never will be. But God has plans for all of us as believers, as His children. He has a purpose for every one of us. The Bible says this, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But if we go through our life as described here with this lazy baker, your life is going to end up in a mess. It's going to end up in turmoil. There's going to be heartaches that did not have to come. They didn't have to turn out that way. We were just yielded to God rather than living as the lazy baker. You know, as we go through life, some trials and tribulations are going to come. I'd rather go through them knowing that I'm as close to God as I can be than going through a trial having to try to find my way back to God. Let's stay close to God. Let's not live our life as this lazy baker did, who didn't set things in order, who refused to rise, who refused to do what he was supposed to do. Let's not live that way. Let's set things in order. Let's ensure that we are being faithful to what God has given us. And let's allow God to do a great work through our life. Let's not be a lazy baker. Amen?